Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Pretty Boy Podcast. Here, I'm your host, Pretty Boy Chris, and this podcast is brought to you by the Rage Game Network Podcast and Rage Game Network Podcast Crew. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Pretty Boy Podcast, Season 2, Episode 1. I'm your host, Pretty Boy Chris, and, well, we're here. It's in the middle of June. Little disclaimer here before we get going. We are aware here at Rage Game Network Podcast and Pretty Boy Podcast that there's a huge summer of gaming festivals and conferences and things going on at this point in time. We have not reviewed any of the material yet. I have been looking at some of the stuff, but I have not released anything officially on any of the platforms, Facebook and Discord. I haven't recorded an episode yet, but I just wanted to let you guys know that hopefully in the next episode or two, whether it be here in Pretty Boy or Rage Game Network Podcast, one of us is going to sit down. We're going to review all the video game stuff that's going on, whether it be on PC, PlayStation, Series X or S, PS5, or Nintendo, or any of those other platforms. Kind of the next gen games that are coming out, trailers, what the people are thinking about, what you guys think. So if there's something you want us to cover, you know, let us know on Facebook and Discord. Reach out to us at Rage Game Network. You can find us at ragegamenetwork.com. And let us know what you think. If there's anything you want us to definitely cover in upcoming episodes, especially this is the summertime here in the Northern Hemisphere, so we'd love to take your comments and your thoughts on this podcast. But yeah, so besides that, we've been kind of off for a couple weeks here. Like I mentioned, I was going to be off for a little bit. I know with Rage Game, we've been Memorial Day happened here in the United States, so we took some time where we played some D&D, but we kind of relaxed, stepped away from the podcast just for a little bit. Just to kind of enjoy the holiday season as we come into the summertime here. But I think we're going to get back on track here hopefully shortly and start releasing some content a little bit more frequently. We'll see about Pretty Boy. There's a couple things right now at work going on that are making it a little bit harder for me to constantly post consistently. But I'm hoping I can at least this month get to maybe squeeze out 3 episodes if my schedule allows it. But yeah, no, I want to make sure I get the content definitely back out to you guys. I know I focus a little bit more on pop culture and more of the video game side of the world, but I like doing that. And, you know, I try to find some other stuff, too, that is for tabletop and D&D and all the different games are out there, so we can talk a little bit about everything. All right, so this episode of the Pretty Boy Podcast, we are going to go over a couple topics today. We're going to start off with mini topics. The first one we're going to talk about is one of the Harry Potter actors actually got to play Hogwarts Legacy. We'll get to talk briefly about their reaction to the game. We'll talk about how Nicolas Cage is coming to Death by Daylight. Again, a mini topic. Briefly talk about it and we'll get going. And then we'll talk about the hint that we got from Rockstar, who's claiming that GTA 6 is potentially going to be releasing fairly shortly here. So we'll get a little bit more discussion on that for that mini topic. And then later on for main topics, we got 4 of them today. First one might take a little bit longer because this is a heated debate right now in the world of video games. We're going to talk about basically why are games launching buggy and broken more than ever. So we're going to get into a couple theories and some discussions about the ongoing shenanigans when it comes to buggy and broken games and why is this happening and why are we paying all this money for a game to be broken day one. So we'll have that discussion. Second topic, we're going to go over real quick a GTA publisher CEO actually discussed the possibility of getting almost like a PS5 Pro or an Xbox Series X or S refresh. So we'll get a little bit into what he thinks about that and which is kind of a nice little, you know, like, what do you think type of a mentality. We'll get into that because I think that would be a little good topic to talk about today. I'm going to take a little bit of a break. Then when I come back from the break, we're going to talk about the European Commission and the Microsoft Activision Blizzard acquisition. We just got news about a month ago about that, and we'll kind of compare that to the UK's block that just recently occurred within the last couple of months here, and kind of see what this is going to happen when it comes to the United States in August in their weighing powers. And then at the end, we're going to actually talk a little bit about tabletop gaming. So we're going to look at if you need any help creating any type of name, whether it be a character or whether it be location, whether it be you name it, we're going to provide you guys with two places that you can find names that will assist you in generating some great content when it comes to your campaigns in the tabletop world. And then we are not going to do a Pretty Boys Game of the Week. I'm going to leave that for the next episode once I get a little bit more time to check out what our next game is. And yeah, so this going to be a longer episode, but it's going to be fairly long, I think, on two of them. So I don't want to like waste a lot of your time talking about a game and expanding it even longer. So yeah, a lot going on. So let's do this. We'll get going now. So we're going to jump into our first mini topic. And our first mini topic today is going to be, and I apologize, I'm just waiting for things to load up again. Here we go. First topic today is going to be Harry Potter star Tom Felton was actually given an opportunity to play Hogwarts Legacy. And we'll talk a little bit about his experience in the article here. So if those of you who do not know who Tom Felton is, he actually did, he was one of the main characters in the Harry Potter films, which I believe he played, I'm drawing a blank. He actually played Draco Malfoy in the original Harry Potter movies. So as I went through the article, he actually got to play the game Hogwarts Legacy. And basically what I got out of this was that he was very excited to see where, the world of movies and the video game fans, the worlds got to collide a little bit, and you could see how well the records smashed the box office and how that there's a little bit of yet enough for the gaming fans who are interested in this type of genre, but also the Potterheads that love Harry Potter and that world, the Wizarding World, was able to be incorporated into the story. Like I said, there was a video he did play. I want to say Sebastian Shallow's quest in there. I think it was Into the Shadows. And within here, he felt like he was at home. He tears up a little bit during the interview when he says this. He says, I believe he said in the article, yeah, it feels like home and yet brand new and exciting to the oddly reminiscence of my childhood. You know, and he was very young when he got into the films as a child actor doing this. So that's really cool to hear that from him. You know, I know that, and we'll get into it in a little bit, but there was some bugs in the game for Hogwarts Legacy when I got launched, and there's other areas where it did really well. I believe, to my knowledge, there's still some delays. I believe, if I'm correct, they have not released the PS4 and Xbox One version. I apologize. Nope, it's the Nintendo Switch. They have not released yet. That's going to be coming out, it looks like November 14th is when that's going to be coming out. I've been playing on the PC. I know some other people have been playing on the PlayStation that I know. They like it a lot. I really haven't had any problems with the PC. I didn't have any crashes or anything like that. Some people have been having crashes on the PC. So definitely something to be thinking about, but I really haven't had any problems. I love the game so far. But yes, if you want to check it out, make sure you check it out. If you have a PC, a PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series S, you can get them there. If you have a Switch, you're going to have to wait until November 14th to have that done. Now, our second mini topic for today. Nicolas Cage is coming to Death by Daylight. If you have not heard, apparently there's an update. They have a teaser announcement, July 5th. Nick Cage is coming in, and I guess he's going to be playing his role in Tales, an in-game version of Renfield. So I know he plays the vampire in that Renfield movie that just recently came out, so he's going to be part of it. That's really cool that they're bringing him in, especially for a, kind of a movie tie-in situation. He gets to play the vampire that he plays in Renfield. That's awesome. I mean, the graphic, just the screenshot of him in the game looks phenomenal on the article. Like I tell you guys all the time, if you want to see where I got my source information, drop down to the bottom. You'll see where all the articles are for the information that I pulled. Click on the link. You'll see many topics. Number two, that's right there. Check it out. That's where you can see the picture of him. He looks really cool on that one. So we'll go right on to top mini topic number three as we are cruising along here. Another article I got here says Rockstar owner hints at a potential 2024 launch for the GTA 6. Crazy to think that. Here's the thing. One of the first things right off this article, it says that the earliest that the GTA 6 could launch is 2024, but it's telling you right here, Take-Two predicts that over $8 billion in fiscal year 2025 is what they're going to make in the GTA 5 and online franchise, which is a lot of money for this franchise. It's been making millions since it came out, I think back in 2013, if I'm correct. I'll read the article right here, but yeah, we're looking as early as 2024. The report here kind of talks about that they expect to enter a new era by launching several groundbreaking titles that I believe will be the new standard in our industry and enable us to achieve our $8 billion net worth bookings and over $1 billion in adjusted unrestricted operational cash flow. And that's how they kind of got into this topic, is that they were, while they're mentioning all the financial side of it, it mentions in here that they're currently banking on a jump of about $3 billion that's going towards the GTA side of the money, and that that's why they're kind of looking at, they haven't mentioned that they're going to do GTA 6, but they're hinting that that could be a possibility. So looks like we're here, CEO, which we'll talk about him later on. He hasn't confirmed or denied that it's a factor into their plans for GTA 6, but looks like some of the leaks and things that are going on, they're predicting possibly an early 2024 release, could be as late as 2025 holiday season, depending on what the studio is looking at. So I like hearing all those numbers and that they're doing really well, and hearing that, well, you know, this might be how we are going to handle this, is wait until either early 2024, the latest right now they're looking at is 2025. And with that being said, just to think about this, it's been probably close to 10 years since GTA 5 and GTA Online has come out. It's close. I would say the game probably came out either October or November. So in my opinion, either they're going to release it holiday season 2024, or they're going to wait to holiday season 2025, because they know they're going to get that cash grab and that money from everyone for the GTA series. And, you know, that's going to make money. It's going to make a lot of money. All right, so that's going to be it for mini topics for today. Now let's get into our main topic. And this one, we might spend a little bit of time before we go on break, because this is a big one. Main topic number one. So main topic number one today, we're going to go over why are games launching buggy and broken more than ever. Now, I pulled this from an IGN discussion they had on this topic on YouTube. So this is about a month from when this podcast comes out. Just a little bit more. There is, on the IGN YouTube page, they have, I think it's Next Gaming Console Watch. podcast and in YouTube, they have a video version where the title of it's called Tech Issues Are Plaguing Next Gen Games. So you can find the list down below if you want to hear everything about what they talked about. And they brought up a couple good things and they brought up some good examples. And this is where I want to talk about this. For those of you who have not heard on the podcast, whether it be here at Rage Game Network Podcast or here at Pretty Boy Podcast, you've probably heard me talk about how generally I've not had any problems with games, especially them being buggy or being broken or having so many issues that we, you know, that I'm very discouraged in playing the game. But there's one game just recently that I purchased thinking, you know what? I love the original game that came out in 2019 and they're coming out with the next gen version this year, 2023. So I purchased the game and I started playing it. And honestly, I did pretty well for a little bit. And then just ever since that first playthrough where I did a good amount of the game, there were so many crashes that occurred. As soon as it's so bad to the point where I would log into the game and it would crash. Not even loading up the title screen, getting into the intro of everything, it would crash. In the game, it would crash. I'd be in the middle of a boss fight and it would crash. I'd be exploring somewhere in the world, the game would crash. All right. So I'm going, you know, Pretty Boy, what the heck is going on? I can't understand why this game is getting freaking destroyed. Like, this is ridiculous. I paid a good amount of money for this game to work, and it has not worked. It's been having so many bugs, so many issues. It's broken, right? I can't even play the damn game, so I'm saying, screw this. I'm not going to play it, right? And that game is Star Wars Jedi Survivor, which on the PC, they are still having problems with it. And they mention in this IGN podcast about how, generally speaking, in the console version of Star Wars Jedi Survivor, for the most part, there's a couple bugs and issues, but it's able to handle the game, especially with the hardware they have. But for some reason, with the PC, and I don't know if this is just in general, if it's just how it got ported into the PC or what happened, you know, the PC just can't handle it. I don't understand. I have a Skytech Gaming PC that I do my podcasts, I do my gaming, some of the stuff I have in here. I know I've got the NVIDIA GeForce RTX graphics card and all that. This is actually a fairly decent and good computer to play video games on, especially for these types of new games that are coming out. This thing should be able to handle it, obviously. It's not an issue. You know, I don't have problems with this thing. But that concerns me, right? And there's other examples out there, and as we go through these notes that I have here, we're gonna talk about some games where this has been a problem too, and you're gonna be like, "Holy crap! I have these games, and yeah, I remember the whole history behind these being a problem, right?" So, and I just mentioned this a little bit, but this year alone, in 2023. Most of the bugs and issues that we're seeing are happening on the PC. Yes, you are seeing some things here and there on the PlayStation 5, the Xbox Series S or X, but it's not really the console areas that are having the problem. It's the PC versions of the games. For whatever reason, they're launching these games, and the PC, for whatever reason, can't handle it, and it's crashing and causing problems. Okay? One thing is, with this being said and what I've been hearing out in the community, because of some of these releases, because of some of these bugs and issues, what's essentially happening is it's appearing as if these game launches are failing to meet the expectations of the gamers in the gaming community, like ourselves here at Rage Game Network, but also the consumers, right? Those people like ourselves who consume all this knowledge information, whether it be Star Wars, whether it be Hogwarts Legacy, whether it be all these other games that are out there. some of the games that are of issue currently in 2023. Again, mostly PC, some are on the console. The big one, like I talked about, Jedi Survivor. So Star Wars Jedi Survivor. That's a big one. That's crashing like crazy in consoles and PC. The PC version of The Last of Us Part 1 is crashing quite a bit. Now, not as much, but when it launched, Hogwarts Legacy was causing problems on the PC. Now, not so much. And in the YouTube video, and I pulled some things out of it. It's not everything that they talked about, but the first 20 minutes, they really dive into this issue because it's really important to have this discussion about the two theories, right? The two theories I put on here was this has always been ongoing, these problems, these glitches, these bugs. It's been happening back then, so it's not a huge shock now. And I'll get into that argument in a second. The second one gets into, well, you know, it's actually more of a problem now, and it's more of a generational thing why we're saying it's a problem now. Okay, so let's take the first step. So let's put on our tinfoil hats here for a second, and we're going to say this has been an ongoing problem here. Okay, the bugginess, the brokenness, ongoing, tinfoil hats coming on for this theory. Listening to this, and I will say this, I started playing games at a young age in the 90s, okay? I started with my latest recollection of games I played was Super Nintendo, the NES, okay? That's the first that I recall playing a home console and then working on my way up from that to an N64, to a PlayStation 2, to a PlayStation 3, to a PlayStation 4, and off and on PC gaming I've played throughout the years. Okay? That's really the route that I've taken. Yes, I have played in the past the original Xbox when I was over to see my friends in high school. You know, never played 360, never got into the rest of it. I pretty much stuck with the Nintendo and the Sony side, especially when I've gotten older. I've really liked using those platforms. Okay? I digress, right? When I was growing up, I personally do not recall any games that I had that were buggy and broken. I just don't recall hearing or seeing those things. Okay? Back then, now something like I was listening to the guys and I never really thought about it until I really sat down and started thinking about this. Just remember something. Back in the day, in the 80s and 90s, okay, the developer would have a timeline. So they were told, okay, you need to release this game and have it done by this date and time. Okay? Because they needed to make sure they can ship the game out right. They had to have a deadline. Apparently, yes, there were bugs and there were problems with games way back in the day. And I don't have any experience. So if you happen to know, let's say in the 80s and 90s, if we have anyone here on the podcast that does recall back in the day that they were trying to play a game and it was all buggy or the system was broken and you actually couldn't complete the game or something of that nature, go to our Facebook, go to our Discord, reach out to us, let us know what games you played that were buggy or broken or didn't really work the way that they should have been working, and why. Why do you think that? Let us know. We'll interact with you. I kind of want to hear your answers about that. I bet there was people out there that had a game back in like the 80s or like 90s, right, maybe even early 2000s, right before really we did a lot of updates for games online where you had problems. Let me know how that all played out. Because what I'm going to get at here is, right, when they had to fix these games, when they knew they were problems, these developers, and they talked about it in the video, you really only had two options. Either if you couldn't finish the game by the deadline and you couldn't delay it, you would make the game even harder in order to prevent that consumer or that individual to advance further into the game. One thing I heard, which I didn't know this happened, and it makes sense, this would be an option back in the day. You would take, right, the game comes out, it's not really doing well, but they want this to be like their big game, some of the developers and studios. So what they would do is they would send you another disc with all the patches and updates. They would send it to you. You would have to put that in to your console, let it update, and then put the game back in, and it would give it all the codes for the game to work properly. I guess that was a thing back in the day. Again, I don't remember any of this. I don't have any experience in my time of gaming of having to do that. But please, like I said, on Facebook or Discord, if you had a scenario like that where you couldn't beat a game because the level is so difficult, or you beat that section and realized that the level wasn't finished, let us know. Or, hey, did you have a time where you were playing a game and it was so buggy and so many problems that the developers and the studios had to send you a disc that had all the patches and updates to update the game so it would actually work properly? Let us know. Let us know in the comments section. Let us know in Discord. We want to hear about this. Because, yeah, I think that's very shocking. You know, and part of the issue here with theory number one, right, this has been an ongoing problem. Here's another thing we didn't think about. Think about back in the day. How did you get your news and information that a game was good or that a game was going to bomb? Now, this is part of what happened with me, but in others, I don't think I have any left down here. I'd have to take a look around. But you figured out a game was good or bad actually by word of mouth. So how that happened is you would get a gaming magazine. I had PlayStation Magazine and Game Informer. Those were the main ones that I always had growing up in the 90s and 2000. And I think I stopped getting magazines once I graduated high school. I think in 09. I don't think I got any after I graduated. I think I stopped doing that because, you know, on PS3 by that point in time came out and all your updates were done online. PS2, you still needed to get a disc to do your updates. Very little could be done online. But yeah, it was word of mouth. You either read about it and someone reviewed the game and said it was great, or it's shit, it tanked. Or, I didn't even think about this, you go to your local video game store, you talk to, let's say, the owners or the clerks, and they would tell you, hey, what do you hear about this game? People are talking about it, and they're saying this is really good. Or they're saying, hey, people are talking about it, and it's shit. I don't recommend pre-ordering this game. That was a thing back in the 90s and 2000. That's how you got your information. And that's how you determine whether you bought a game or not. All right, we're going to take that tinfoil hat on. We're going to talk about theory number two. I'm going to throw my other tinfoil hat on for this. Now we're talking about current times. So what the second theory is talking about is this is kind of a now generation and the concept of instant gratification. Okay. So the concept of we need to have it and we need to have it now. We need to be able to access everything ASAP. This is where things like social media, it amplifies things, right? We used to get that information from the magazines and the store clerks and everything, right? Now you just go on social media, you go online. With all the gaming fest stuff that just came up and that we're going to talk about in the future here, as soon as it got released, guess what? I was on YouTube seeing the trailers and seeing the feedback of, wow, this game is really good, or at least the trailer looks really good. You know, I've been able to go out to, let's say, Ubisoft, and they've been giving me a review of the game, but the embargo, I can't say much, right? That's that instant gratification. We need it now. I need the information right now. Back in the day, the gaming magazines, you get one a month. You go to your local store, your clerk, you know, it's kind of some outdated, it's almost like rumor information. They mention it too, but chat rooms, right? Reddits, That kind of stuff. That's how we're getting our information now. Whether it's reliable or not, that's something you can consider. But that's how we're getting our information. You know, and part of this discussion, too, is the developers and studios, they're getting more ambitious with their games. You can see, like, in Star Wars Jedi Survivor, they're pushing the limit of those consoles and PCs to the brink. They want to push and test the hardware to do exactly what it is capable of doing, so everyone can see exactly what it's potentially capable of doing. Unfortunately, when you're a little too ambitious, and you're pushing the hardware, you got to be prepared for the hardware might fail. I think that's kind of the issue we're seeing nowadays. We talked about this. Now we're getting into the whole digital updates versus discs. Back in the day, you wanted an update or you had to play part two or part three of a game, you had discs. You would have to put in the first disc, you play through the first disc, then you put in the second disc, you play the second part of the game, etc., etc. Nowadays, if there's a problem with a game, you can actually get it patched. You can actually get a download from the internet, from the server, from the company, that will install onto your PlayStation, your Xbox, your PC. They'll actually make it playable and run faster. And then I think this is the concept I'm seeing in a lot of studios. I think they're kind of pushing towards this concept of, all right, we're getting close to the deadline. I don't have everything I need for this game. So instead of rushing the game out, it's really bad. We might, like, after the fact do things. They kind of goes with this. Yes, you still commit to that concept of, you know what? We're going to release it with the bugs and everything, knowing that day one, we're going to have to release some patches that will help improve that game. Okay. Instead of the disc situation where you're reactive, you have to wait. That's the whole point here. Let's be honest with you. Prime examples this year alone, Redfall and Jedi Survivor. Both have becoming buggy and broken, and Jedi Survivor's done really well. Even with that, Redfall has been considered a disaster. People have not bought the game. People, even if they bought the game, are talking bad about the game because there are so many problems with it. And it's not running well on the consoles or the PC, just like Jedi Survivor. But Jedi Survivor, people are buying the game and it's a good game and they're able to patch and work on it. Redfall, it's a freaking nightmare. Microsoft, I would say, and they mentioned in the podcast, and I could agree with this. I think what Microsoft is probably doing right now, given a 60 days as they work on it, they'll release a patch that fixed most of the bugs. And I think they're going to focus on this being like an Xbox Game Pass where you pay for the game or you get the game and they start working on it, working on it, working on it. And a couple years down the road, the game's so good, everyone wants to play it. And I think that's what they're going to do. They're going to almost pull like the scenario that's happened with No Man's Sky when it launched. It was terrible when it launched. A couple years later now, No Man's Sky is one of the best games that people are playing. A couple other scenarios. The Halo Collection, same exact scenario. Launched disastrously. Now it's actually really good. And Cyberpunk 2077, huge disaster. Tons of bugs, tons of problems. Now it's actually a playable game. You can actually play the game pretty well, okay? And I think in the end, what it comes down to is this concept that we talk about Rage Game Network podcast and here Pretty Boy podcast. Most of these games are $70 when you buy them now. The whole $65 and $60 and $50 games of the old days are gone. It's now $70 when you buy a game, at least at base level. The concept of, hey, I paid $70 for this game. Most gamers understand, I want a polished game. I want a game that actually works and operates. If you've got a couple bugs here and there, I'll work around that. But if I buy the game and it's a complete freaking nightmare, yeah, I'm going to have some problems. And that's kind of where the struggle is for me with Jedi Survivor is I paid the regular price for Jedi Survivor. And guess what? It's buggy. It's a pain to play. I have to wait for updates to even try to play the game. In the moment, I want to play the game. I paid $70 for that game. I want the game to work. And that's how I feel about it. But I digress. We're going to take our tinfoil hats off. So I talked to you about the two theories that I have here. I personally think instant gratification, I think it's currently has been exacerbated because of online social medias and chat rooms, and because we need to know the information right now. I think that's why it's being brought to the front nowadays. But please let us know down below. You'll find our contact for Rage Game Network social medias, whether it be Facebook or Discord. Get on there. Let us know how you feel about our games launching buggier and broken more than ever. We'd love to hear. And let us know if you've had an experience where, like myself, right? You got a game, you played the game, and there's all kinds of bugs and problems, and it's almost unplayable, we'll say. Yeah, tell us about it. We want to hear about that. All right. Before our little break here, we go on. GTA. So the publisher, GTA, the CEO, his name is Strauss Zelnick, was asked by GameIndustry.biz whether he anticipates seeing a hardware refresh for the Sony and Microsoft consoles. He mentions in the article, like I said, he's not part of Sony and he's not part of Microsoft. His opinion and what he thinks is that we probably will see something, but he was very hesitant to estimate when that was going to be. But what he mentioned here is he doesn't think that it'll affect the business very much. I think a lot of it, people are asking, hey, are we ever going to get a PS5 Pro? Are we ever going to get a refresh version or a higher quality version of an Xbox Series X or S? I don't think it's going to make a huge landfall on the way gaming is today. But, you know, I could see them doing something like that, right? Making the next version of a PS5 or a Series X or S. Especially with some of the rumors going around that there might be a new version of the PS5 coming up, like a Slim or something. I could see them at least having this discussion. So, and then in here they talk about, obviously, sometime between early 2024 to late 2025, possibly a GTA 6 release, which we talked about in our mini topic today. All right, so with that being said, let's go ahead and take a break, and I'll see you guys on the flip side. All right, see you. Welcome back, everyone, to the Pretty Boy Podcast. So let's get into topic number three today. In topic number three today, we're going to talk about the European Commission and Microsoft's Activision Blizzard acquisition. So if you have not been kept up on this whole drama fest when it comes to Microsoft's Activision and Blizzard acquisition, there's a lot of stuff going on. Okay, a few years back, Microsoft was trying to acquire Activision and Blizzard. You know, they've been kind of at each other's throats. Activision, I think, is the one that does want to merge with Microsoft, but Blizzard's kind of not happy about the situation, and there's been some legal battles that have been going on and some other things that have been going on with this. Well, in the news recently, a lot of countries are starting to have their, in their legal system, they're starting to look at the approval of merging Microsoft and that company of Activision and Blizzard. Okay. The big one that just blocked it in the last couple months was the UK. The UK said, absolutely not. We're not going to let you guys merge. It makes no sense. And they cited the reason why behind it was because of cloud gaming. I've talked about the discussion. There's other people have talked about this discussion. So if you want to know more, check out previous episodes of the Pretty Boy Podcast. Whether you listen on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts, drop on down. You should see it in one of the last couple episodes of the Pretty Boy Podcast, where you can listen to me about the reasons why it got blocked there. Okay. With that being said, the European Commission actually approved Microsoft's Activision Blizzard acquisition. So the basic summary of their ruling basically said this. Microsoft's merger would not provide them any incentive to refuse or distribute Activision Blizzard games to Sony consoles. So that's part of the reason why they approved it, is they saw that there was no reason that Sony would be left out of this merger. Good. I like to hear that, right? As a Sony player, I want to play my Activision Blizzard games. So as long as I can play them, I'm totally cool with it, right? If I can't play them on my PlayStation, then we got a problem. Even if Microsoft did withhold those games from Sony, it would not significantly harm the console market, is what they're saying. Even prior to the merger, Activision would not make its game available on multiple game subscription services like Xbox Game Pass, PlayStation Plus, those type of things. So I think they're going to allow that a little bit more now, from what I'm understanding. And it says here, if Microsoft made Activision games exclusively to their cloud services, it would harm the growth of the market by reducing competition and also improves Microsoft's position as a developer of PC operating systems. So that was kind of the summary, but they did approve it because they were able to prove that, you know what, they came up with a plan that allows for cloud gaming to exist, that allows for, you know what, they're going to be able to focus on these subscription services for gaming, and that the games for Activision and Blizzard will be able to go to Microsoft, PC, and PlayStation, Nintendo, and all these other brands, and it won't be a problem. They've come up with a plan. They like it. It says here, Microsoft has agreed to a free license that would allow residents of the European Economic Area to use any cloud platform they want to stream all current and future Activision Blizzard games, as well as a license that allows cloud service providers to provide those services. The European Commission is quite pleased with this outcome, stating these commitments fully address the competition's concern identified by the Commission and represents a significant improvement for cloud game streaming compared to the current situation. So, kind of what I've hit at here. They had some concerns. Microsoft, Activision, Blizzard were able to show, hey, this is what we're going to do to make sure it's fair and consistent with everyone. The commission looked at all this information and said, yep, I agree with it. We're okay with that. So that's cool, and I'm totally okay with it. I think as long as it's great that companies like Microsoft and Sony are acquiring products and IP addresses and all that, and I still believe some things can be exclusive to PlayStation and Xbox. On the other hand, some of these companies that were third parties that were open to every console, when they get acquisitioned and merged and all that, what I tell people is, yeah, no, you should at least have the ability for them to still continue their third-party operation. You know, they can have smaller games be just for Xbox exclusive or just for PlayStation exclusive. That's totally cool. But just for PC, we'll just say. That's totally cool. I'm okay with that. But that's the route I think is make it open for everyone. Then you don't have any problems. So I actually agree with the European Commission. I think it strengthens the discussions that are had in the United States with the Federal Trade Commission. And I think it also kind of challenges the UK. I think with the ongoing legal problem and the appeals that are going to happen from Microsoft and their lawyers against the UK, I think this right here is going to play a role in the UK maybe taking a step back, taking a look at their decision and deciding, you know what? I think they got some good plans and stuff going on. Let's go ahead and approve this plan. Eventually, I think it'll happen. It might take a little bit, but I could see that. So, all right. So to finish out this podcast today, we are going to do topic number 4. So this is more for our tabletop friends and Dungeons and Dragons friends. Do you guys need any type of character, location, any type of names that might help in your campaign? Well, check down below in the links for topic number 4, because guess what? Creating a new character can be extremely daunting. I know, And it's a pain in the butt, right? Not only you got to figure out what the character is going to do mechanically and which things, its own things it's going to do, but you also got to figure out what is my character's name going to be? And that's honestly the hardest part, is creating a name for the world, the locations, your character, some of the items that you're creating, depending on what type of a game system you are using. So have no fear, my friends. What you can do down below, you're going to see two links that go to two different areas that will help you out. If you check out the first one, it's Isabella's Rawson's Twitter. She actually has a list of some really good ideas for possible character names that you could use in your tabletop gaming experience. Check it out down below. I think you're going to like it a lot, what she has there. That'll kind of help you out if you ever need in a pinch, need to know who you want, how you want to name your character. But guess what? That's not the only thing here today we're going to talk about. The other thing we're going to talk about is a website called fantasynamegenerator.com. So if you click on the link below, this one I like a lot because it's not just character names. And you can pick character names based on your race. You can pick names from real life. So depending on what type of time period you're playing, your tabletop game in, maybe that can help you decide which way you want to go. But here's a couple things you can do. If you're the game master or the dungeon master, right? If you're playing D&D, and you're trying to figure out some lore or backstory for your campaign, you actually can get places, locations, names, guilds, governments, clans, militaries and military ranks, maybe pop culture, or just general descriptions of different items and things that the players are going to find throughout their journey. That's what I've got here for you, ladies and gentlemen, is that you have a great searching tool right here, Fantasy Name Generator. It pulls up usually the top 10 names in English, and you can pick other languages like French and others, the randomly generated names. You can always go through, clear the names. You can load up different names in case it's not exactly what you want. But if you go to the top here, you're going to see fantasy and folklore, real names, places, locations, other names, pop culture, description generals, other generals, things. If you click on them, it'll actually give you the list and it'll help you pick exactly what you need for your characters, for the locations that you want to pick, for other names of armies and brands, and just looking at this here right now, gangs and clans, guilds, species, languages, dates, materials, military in general, you name it, whatever you can think of is probably in here, and you actually will pick some really good names. It'll give you some good names. It'll generate them for you. So take a look in here. So if you go down to the bottom, like I said, topic number four, there's two articles down below. The first one should take you to a Twitter that will give you some actually fantastic names for your tabletop gaming experience. The second one will take you to a generator where you can pick your names, locations, all kinds of things that will help you out in your next D&D or tabletop gaming experience that you have with your friends. So check it out. I think you'll really enjoy it. All right. Like I mentioned, we're not going to do a Pretty Boys Game of the Week just for this week because there's so much going on here. Especially with that second and third topic, there was a lot of news that came out of that. But here's what I'll say here. All right. If you want to see what games that I have been playing, and my list is updated at the bottom, please check out down in the show notes. You'll see a section called What Games Has Pretty Boy Chris Been Playing? You'll see them all there, where I'm playing them on. Let me know. You want to play some games? Let me know. I'll give you my gamer tag name, and we can play a couple games. Like I mentioned, if you would like to find Rage Game Network, the links are down below, but you can find us on Facebook, on Instagram, on Discord, YouTube, and we've got a website, www.rageofgames.com. www.ragegamenetwork.com. That's www.ragegamenetwork.com. Now, if you want to find your boy, Pretty Boy Chris, you can find me on Facebook, Discord, Twitch, YouTube, and you can email me if you have anything at blahblah0267@gmail.com. That's blahblah0267@gmail.com. Like I said here, everyone, we're starting to get into the gaming season here for the summer. There's some big news coming out of many of the gaming festivals. So bear with us. Probably in the next couple episodes, we're going to release some of the information that just came out this past weekend. There's some good stuff out there I'm seeing. I'm going to do some reviewing, looking at the information over the next couple nights, try to put in an episode together so we can have that discussion of what are going to be some of the best games coming forward in the next 12 to 24 months that got released this summer. All right. All right, guys, I think it's the end of this podcast for today. Season 2, starting out on a strong, strong lead here. So if you want to find me, please check me out at the links that I've described. If you wanted to find Rage Game Network, same thing. Check out the links down below. That's where you can find us. RageGameNetwork.com is the best place to find us. And hey, guys, everyone, please go out, tell your friends about this podcast if you really enjoy it. Give us the 5 stars, the thumbs up, do all that fun stuff. Let us know if you like the podcast, how we're doing, if there's anything you want to see us improve going forward. We like to hear from our community members. We get a few here and there that reach out to us that have been a longtime loyal listeners. So please continue doing that. We'd love hearing from you guys from the community. All right. That's going to be it for today. That's going to be it for me today on the Pretty Boy Podcast. Pretty Boy Chris is going to sign off for today. So enjoy your day, night, weekend, whatever the case is while you're listening to it. And #raging out.